We got some wild Indians up here that are really eager to get to kids' church. Kids, we'll let you head on out as the wild Indians are going. There they go. Woohoo! Woo-hoo. All right. Hey, before Kyler comes to bring the word, there's one quick announcement that I didn't mention. As I said, we're going to be going on this missions trip to Ecuador. It is our church's first foreign mission trip we've ever done. First time I've ever went on a mission trip myself. Really, really looking forward to it. We're not actually leaving till June. It's going to be June 12th to the 19th of next year. I want to throw out there, if the Lord lays on your heart, every person that's going, and as of this moment, we've got about 25 people on the list to go. Each one of those are going to, they've put down their $250 deposit. They're going to be asked to come up with another $500. I would love it if we are able to raise enough money between now and then that none of those individuals have to pay a penny. I think that'd be great. So if the Lord lays on your heart, you would like to bless somebody, maybe you can't go, and I do want to, and I'm not trying to say this to, you know, prod you into giving a little more. One of my favorite quotes I ever heard from John Piper in regards to missions, he said, you know, when it comes to going and doing mission work, every believer has three options. You can go, you can send, or you can be disobedient. Those are your three options. And I don't feel like option three is an option. So if you can't go, you can be part of sending people from this church to go do good work. So if the Lord lays on your heart and you'd like to contribute to that, I just need to remind you, so it doesn't drive Brandon crazy, we need you. If you write a check and you want to put it towards the missions trip, please make sure you put in that memo, missions trip. If you're putting down deposit money, which I think we have most of that already, but make sure you're just very detailed in that memo what it's going for. If there was a particular individual and you're like, I wanted to pay their $500, make sure you put down that person's name. And it's just so we can track it and we know what's going on with it. So enough of that. A few months ago, Lori and I, we'd made plans to go out to Colorado for vacation this past week. We did. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. Hope we get a chance to go back, Lord willing. But I knew that we were going to be having a pretty packed week, and it was going to be challenging for me to put the time into preparation for preaching that I usually do. So I asked Kyler, our youth minister, if he would preach for us. He jumped on it, loves to fill in for me. I love that he loves to do that. So give him a big hand as he comes and shares the word this morning. God bless you, brother.
Thanks. Yeah, I love the opportunity to get to do this. Like Steve said, my name is Kyler. I'm the youth pastor here. I do love to get to do this. It still terrifies me, though. Okay, but big thing for me, something that I try to do, we're going to talk about habits today, and a habit that I try to have in my life is getting outside of my comfort zone, and this is way outside my comfort zone. I'd much rather be in that room back there on a Wednesday night talking to the youth and helping those kids just become the best version of themselves and watch them grow in the Lord. And with that said, I want to brag on our youth group a little bit. Nothing that I've done and everything that our youth has done, I'm so proud of those kids. We started off, I think like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had about 8 or 9 kids coming to youth group consistently, which was awesome. It was incredible. We're up to like 15 or 16 now, so almost doubled, which is super cool. And that's because these kids are telling other kids about Jesus, inviting them to church. I mean, we have kids that are praying before sporting events. Okay, praying at, like, see you at the pole. There's even some kids that have spoke at the local FCA on Friday mornings. And I just couldn't be more proud of these kids. I'm just super blessed to even get to be a part of it, really. Next thing I want to tell you guys, congratulations, because you made it through a what can be sometimes stressful holiday. Okay, and there's more coming up, okay? So I'll be praying for you. Be praying for me. Okay, but as a teacher, the holidays, fantastic. All right. You get some really nice holiday breaks, okay? I had this whole past week off. It was awesome. So getting to prepare just what I want to talk about today was really good having that time. Downside, though, we went to my wife's grandparents in Lawrence, Kansas yesterday. That's not the downside. That was great. I want to make that clear. On the way back, okay, it's about a 3-hour drive. Dallas falls asleep, Miles falls asleep, and I'm left alone in the car, just me, my thoughts, and like 400 milligrams of caffeine. And that's a dangerous mixture because I'm just going through what I want to talk about today, and I end up like thinking about like, oh, I'm just going to change this. Okay, that's fine. I'll change this too. Change about 50% of what I want to talk about very last minute. So I'm just hoping that any confusion that I cause today, you know, God gives some clarity to it. So before we jump in, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the amazing God that you are. Lord, I thank you just for this time of year that can be stressful, God, but also can be so glorifying for you and to you, God. Lord, I ask that you just open up our hearts today. Lord, speak through me. Help us to open up our hearts, open up our minds and our ears to hear your word. God, we love you. It's your name I pray. Amen. Amen. So what I want to talk about today is habits, okay? And something that I realized every time that I speak, I have a really bad habit of only using sports references, okay? It's because I coach, okay? And that's a big passion of mine, okay? I love that. So today, I'm going to try to not do that, okay? But habits. We have good habits. We have bad habits. And with end of the year approaching, there's something that a lot of people do at the beginning of the year, of a new year, and that is set a New Year's resolution. And whenever we think about it, New Year's resolutions are about habits, almost always, okay? Similar to any time that we're trying to be better at something or do better about something, it's about a habit, whether stopping one or about creating a new one. And I think Matthew 25, 14 through 30 does a really good job of kind of encapsulating this idea. Okay, so this is kind of known as like the parable of the talents or the parable of the three servants, okay, depending on what version of the Bible you're looking at. And I want to do something just a little bit different today, as I always like to, at the end of my sermon, give you like, hey, here's my sermon in a sentence, just if you don't hear anything else. I like to do that at the end of my sermon, but today what I want to do is give it to you at the very beginning. Okay, so if you don't hear anything else, I just want you to hear this. Your daily habits shape your future, not the goals you make. Your daily habits shape your future, not the goals you make. And this is something that I changed, you know, on the way home yesterday, you know, that phrase. Okay, because I think it works in many different ways whenever we think about it. If we think about that first part, your daily habits shape your future, that works whether we're talking about good habits in our lives or whether we're talking about bad habits in our lives. Those habits are going to shape our future. And then the end of it, your daily habits shape your future, not the goals you make. So that's kind of weird, because I think we should set goals, and we absolutely should. That's important to do, okay? But setting a goal without a daily habit is almost meaningless. You're never going to reach that goal if you're not taking steps daily to get there. That'd be like if we had a ladder up here, okay, but it only had the first step and the last step. How are we going to get to the top whenever there's not those small steps in between? So let's jump into the parable of the talents here. Before we do that, I just want to give you a quick rundown of what's going on with it. Okay, so in this story, Jesus is actually preaching here in a parable. Okay, so what's a parable? Why did Jesus always... Because Jesus spoke using parables very, very often. And I think it's always good to ask questions like that. Ask these like simple questions. Wait, why parables? Well, there's two main reasons that Jesus used these. Is one, these parables that Jesus would use are super relatable. Many people then could relate to these. But what I think is even crazier is these parables that Jesus would teach in, they're still relatable now to us. The other reason I think, or the other reason that Jesus used them was to separate groups, right? Kind of like separating the sheep from the goats, okay? Jesus used these parables to separate those who are listening just to hear and those who are listening to actually understand. Because I think there's two main differences there. If I'm listening just to hear, I could just be trying to listen to hear something that I don't agree with. Like, I'm going to listen to this guy until I hear something I don't agree with. Until I hear something that's going to trigger me and make me upset. Or there's the other side. I'm going to listen to try to actually understand what they're saying. and see if I can apply this to my life. So in this parable, there's a master, okay, and he has three servants, and he gives them different amounts of money or talents, or I'm going to read out of the NLT, and it says bags of silver, okay? So he's got three servants. This master's getting ready to leave out of town, and he leaves this money for them. One, he leaves five bags of silver. One, he leaves two, and one, he leaves one bag. And see, the important part isn't how many talents they got. The key is what they did with what they had. First two servants do really well. They immediately go to work. Okay, they make steady, faithful decisions. They don't wait for the master to return, and they don't set some crazy, lofty goal. They just take these small steps, okay, these daily habits, and they put in this consistent work, and the work compounds, and they're able to make more. Master comes back eventually. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much." And you see, their future reward happened because of their consistent faithfulness, not just their dreams or intentions, or not just because of goals, because of consistent faithfulness. Now, that's the first two servants. The third one, not really as good of an outcome. Okay? He doesn't do anything crazy wrong in the dramatic sense, which we'll read about here in a second. He just simply does nothing. And unfortunately, that's a bad habit, because doing nothing is still doing something. Okay? He hides his talent, doesn't take any daily action, and his future is shaped by this habit. It's the habit of inaction. Unfortunately, whenever the master comes back, he doesn't have as good things to say about him. He calls this servant wicked and lazy because doing nothing is still doing something. And what that something is, it's forming the habit of unfaithfulness, fear, and avoidance. And see, that's a really good, that's the reason I love the name of our church, Church in Action, because we don't want to be that. We don't want to just stand by. We don't want to be doing things. We want to be progressing the gospel message that Jesus has left for us. All right, let's jump in to the scripture today. So we're going to be in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Verse 14 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip." So, master gives each servant a bag of silver, okay, according to their ability. Okay, so each servant has been left with responsibility, with something to do. The servant doesn't leave anyone out. Okay, and I think it's important to notice that not everyone's given the same things. Okay, one's given five, one's given two, and one's given one. Okay, how boring would it be if we all had the same thing? That'd be really boring. Okay, and that's just reality. Not everybody has the same things. Not everybody's given the same things. Not everybody starts with the same things. But I think there's three things that we all have. The first one's time. Everybody's got the same 24 hours every single day. And in that time, no matter how busy I am, because there's people that are busier than others, different stages of life, is what I'm doing in that time glorifying God? And if the answer is no, that's when we kind of need to reevaluate. Everyone's given a conscience. Okay? Everyone's given the ability to have control over their thoughts and then act on those thoughts. Should I be doing this? What do I need to be doing here? Should I be doing this instead? Everyone's given that. And everyone's given influence. Okay? Even if it doesn't feel like it. There's people around you. We're around people every single day, and we have influence by the ways that we treat others, by the way we act in our daily lives. Okay? Some people have more than others, but everybody has something to steward. And I think something we have to ask ourselves every day is, what am I doing every day with what God has given me? What am I doing every day with what God has given me? Is what I'm doing glorifying to Him? Is what I'm doing forming Christ-centered habits in my life? What am I doing with what God has given me? Let's move on, verse 16 here. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. So, kind of like what we talked about, the first 2 servants immediately put the talents to work. Immediately start creating just these daily habits, okay? Because the master was going to be gone for a while. So they immediately start doing these daily habits. The third, not so much. He buries the talent or buries the bag of silver, just avoiding responsibility completely. And what we see here, just in this section, is habits of action versus habits of avoidance. So what does this look like? What are these habits of action? What should these look like in our lives? And I think these are some very fundamental ones that if we apply these to our lives, we're going to be doing the right things. We're going to be taking those small steps. Opening your Bible, spending time in Scripture, praying consistently, practicing your gift, do your calling, whatever that is. Whatever you're passionate about, if what you're doing is glorifying to God, that's probably your calling. We talked about that in youth group a couple months ago. Encouraging others, being there for people, okay? Like, people go through hard times, go through kind of storms in their lives. And if we can be there for those people, that's a really good habit to have in our life. And the one I mentioned earlier, getting outside of your comfort zone. I feel like you truly see your faith whenever you step outside of your comfort zone. That's when your faith is really on display. When you feel like maybe I'm not prepared enough for this. Maybe I'm not good enough for this. But I know God is. I know God can bring me through it. Now the flip side of that, because we're talking about good habits and bad habits. The bad habits are these habits of avoidance. What do these maybe look like? Procrastination. Okay? Not using that time wisely. Like I said, we're all given the same amount. That's something that we all have the same. We all have the same time. Constant scrolling. Man, there's so many distractions nowadays. I think the new term or coined term is doom scrolling. Okay? That's a bad habit. Making excuses. There's tons of them. Okay? Here's going to be my only sports reference, I promise. Okay? Had a football coach back in the day, whenever we talk about excuses, he said excuses are like armpits. Everybody's got them, and they all stink. That's pretty true. Okay, excuses are bad habits. Giving up easily. Giving up when things get hard. The more you do that, the more it's easier to do that. That can become a habit. And hiding from responsibility. What if I take something on? What if it fails? What if I try to do this and it just fails miserably? Then that's all on me. So I should just hide from it. No, not at all. That's not what God's calling you to. And that's a really bad habit to make, is hiding from responsibility. And see, I think what we see from these verses here, 16 through 18, is that good habits multiply what you've been given, but bad habits bury it. You see, and I'm not trying to, this is definitely not prosperity gospel here, okay? I'm not telling you that if I'm praying every day and I'm reading my Bible every day that God's just going to shower blessings upon me, because God's already given me the greatest blessing He's ever going to. And if He doesn't give me another one, He's already given me enough. Jesus is enough for all of us, okay? But what I think He's saying here, what I mean by these good habits are going to multiply what you've been given, is the more you read your Bible, the more you're going to want to read your Bible. The more time you spend in prayer, the more time you're going to want to spend in prayer. The more often, or the more times that you encourage other people, the more people are going to come to you for encouragement, because they see that you're that kind of person. All right, verse 19. After a long time, their master returned from his trip. He called them to give an account of how they'd used his money. The servant to whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who'd received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Okay, so the master gets back, said, "What'd you do with what I gave you?" And you see, they're both rewarded, both servants, the first two. Okay, but the reward's not based on how much they had. This reward they're given is based on how faithful they were with what they had. Okay, and this section shows us that small daily habits do get noticed. These daily habits were noticed by these servants' master. Small habits that produce fruit in our lives, I think, are things like praying every day. Just 5 minutes. Nothing crazy. I think it was maybe like 3 or 4 weeks ago, we did a prayer challenge in youth group. And I challenged all the kids to pray in different ways. So one time that week, they were just going to pray just silently to themselves. I think that's the way that a lot of people choose to pray. Pray that way, okay? But I also challenge them to pray out loud. Man, there's something different about that. So I was teaching at Mount Vernon the last 4 years, so my commute to school was like, 37 seconds. And so I'm teaching in Monette this year, teaching and coaching there. So I got like a 20-minute drive. My prayer life from August to now it's just changed drastically. Because on the drive, on my commute, I just pray out loud. And I can tell you right now, I didn't do that enough beforehand. That has been huge for my life, and my prayer life. And that's why I wanted to challenge our youth kids with it. And then the last challenge was write down a prayer. Write it down. Because sometimes I feel like things can feel stale in our prayer life. And a good way to get out of that, change how you're doing it. Change how you're doing that. It can be uncomfortable, and I think that's a good thing. Okay, another small habit that produces fruit in your life, choose kindness consistently. That's hard, okay? Don't go on social media for that. You're not going to find it there, okay? And kindness is not something that that's very popular these days, it doesn't seem like. The last habit, showing up when it's hard. Being faithful even through the storms in our lives. Even through the hard times. Being faithful through all of it. Okay? And then the opposite side of that, I think these verses confirm that faithfulness is a habit. Faithfulness is a habit, and it's not just a one-time choice. Faithfulness isn't just one big spiritual moment or one big emotional hype with no follow-through. And see, I think that's something that I struggled with growing up, okay? Because, church camp's awesome as a kid. I love church camp, right? But you always go to those, and, it was fun. You hang out with your friends, and then you hear this awesome message on the last night, and you're like, "Oh, God is here. Oh, I can feel God. This is incredible." And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. But God's just as present then as he is in your daily life. There's nothing stopping me from feeling that every single day. And that's something that I definitely struggled with growing up. I think Jesus said it best when he said, "You need to pick up your cross daily and follow me." He didn't say, pick it up at the church camp or church convention or once a month. On Sundays, Jesus said, "Pick up your cross daily All right, verse 24. Then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here it is, or here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." So, first thing that this third servant does is essentially just blames the master. He starts making excuses. "I knew you were a harsh man. I didn't want to lose your money." And unfortunately, with this servant, his habit is fear and excuse making instead of responsibility. I think bad habits often start with lies. Okay, I'm not good at this. It doesn't matter. I'll start tomorrow. Or one that's just, I don't know, it's the one that gets me the most. That's just who I am. I can't change. That's just who I am. That's an excuse. Because the truth is that fear is a habit too. But thankfully, that's one that can be unlearned. All right, last couple verses, verse 28. Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Habits have consequences, good or bad. Good habits are going to have good consequences. Bad habits are going to have bad consequences. And I think what we see is the faithful gain more responsibility and more joy. Even though things might be busier, even though they might be uncomfortable, even though things might be difficult, they gain more responsibility and they gain more joy because of it. The unfaithful are the ones that are kind of stuck in these bad habit times, lose even what they had, and they're left with nothing. I think some of the good habit consequences that we see in our lives whenever we apply this to our life is we're able to build trust. Okay? There's going to be more people that come to you for help because they can see these things in your life. I think these good habits create opportunity for us. And I think these good habits lead to growth and to confidence. Bad habits, on the other hand, bad habits shrink your potential. I think everyone here is capable of so much. That's what I love about getting to coach. Like, I don't care about winning games, honestly. It doesn't matter to me. What I care about is seeing kids be able to reach their full potential. Being able to see that I can do so much more than what I think I can do if I just do these little things every single day. But bad habits shrink our potential. And I think the devil's actively trying to distract us from our calling every single day. But we have to have good habits set up to fight against that. I think these bad habits kill our momentum, and I think they damage our future. And I think the worst part about it all, and we've kind of talked about it a little bit, good habits are difficult. Setting up these good habits in our life, they take time, they take effort, and they take consistency. But bad habits are really easy. Bad habits are really easy. They can go almost unnoticed. Bad habits are easy, they're effortless, and a lot of times we don't even realize that we're falling into that trap. And that can be very dangerous for us as Christians. So to kind of start to wrap this up, I kind of want to connect this back to Jesus, okay? That's something in youth group. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and we're on like chapter 16 now, I think. And Jesus is the center of the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it's so cool getting to go through the first book of the Bible and see how present Jesus is in that. So to connect to this idea of, you know, these three servants, Jesus was the most faithful servant. Okay? Jesus didn't bury his calling, and he lived it out, even though it was going to be difficult. Jesus didn't avoid sacrifice. He embraced it. I think the biggest thing is through Jesus and through the gospel message, we're forgiven for our bad habits. But not only that, but we're given the power to change. I think Paul says it really well in Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Paul says this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So Paul's message here is kind of that old saying, like, you reap what you sow. And I think what we see from this parable that Jesus was teaching is the first two servants, they sowed faithfully. Every day they invested their time, their effort, their discipline, and their responsibility. And I'm going to guess they didn't reap immediately. They reaped in due season. When the master returned, they received their reward. See, they never grew weary in doing good. They kept sowing. And in time, they reaped. The third servant sowed, but not the right things. He sowed fear and excuses. And so he reaped nothing, just like what Paul said in Galatians. He didn't lose because he was left less gifted than the others. He lost because he essentially just chose not to sow. And his future was shaped by his habit of not acting or of inaction. So I want to finish up with this. I want to ask the same question as earlier. So why did Jesus use parables? I think we know. They're relatable and for a deep understanding. But why did Jesus use this one specifically? Like, why is this important? What's the deeper meaning or deeper understanding behind it? So we know some themes from what he was talking about, you know, habits, good and bad. But what's the big overarching reason? Why is this so important to Jesus that he would speak this to his disciples? I think it has to do with what Steve was talking about at the end of last week, people getting serious about sharing the gospel. I think that's why Jesus spoke this parable. And if you were here last week, I hope that kind of fired you up, because that fired me up. Because I want to be more serious as well about sharing the gospel message. You see, in this parable, the master trusts his servants with valuable resources and responsibility. And if you read in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his apostles, essentially, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to be upon you, and you're going to take my message, and you're going to spread it throughout the entire earth. And we still have that responsibility today, you and I. If we want to be serious about being disciples who make more disciples, we have to have some God-centered, faithful habits in our life. And I started with this quote, and I want to end with it. Your daily habits shape your future, not just the goals you make. If we really want to be serious about spreading the gospel message, we need to take up our cross daily with the gospel-centered habits that we put into effect in our lives. And those just start with the fundamentals. Prayer, spending time in the Bible, and being faithful with what we've been given and living on this mission that Jesus has called us to. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being the amazing Father that you are to us. Lord, I ask that just through this message, God, through your word, through this gospel, God, that you empower us. God, we know that we are temples for the Holy Spirit, God, that your power lives inside of us. And God, I ask that you help us to not grow weary whenever times are hard, whenever we go through these seasons of our life that are difficult, Lord. Would you empower us to step outside of our comfort zone and do exactly what you called your apostles to do in Acts chapter 1 and what you still call us to do today, us, just to spread your message, the gospel, throughout the entire earth. God, I love you. Please be with us this week during this time of the year, God. Lord, I ask that you help us to glorify you in everything we do. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Hey, give Kyler a big hand. We appreciate him. Love him. Thank you, brother. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to do a closing word of prayer. And again, just a big thank you to Kyler. But he happened to read this morning one of my favorite statements in all of Scripture when Jesus says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." That is the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate prize. That's what we all want to hear. But I do want to remind you of this. You see it in that parable, and I am not preaching works-based salvation here, but over and over and over we see in the Scripture, and we've seen it in Matthew, and we've seen it in Galatians, Jesus commends those who do something with the faith they have. He is commending them. You go on from Matthew chapter 24 into chapter 25, and it's the sheep and the goats. And you know who gets to come into the kingdom? Those who visited the poor. Those who helped the sick. Those who did something with their faith. And I don't know. I'm just telling you, and I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. We're going to get serious around here about sharing our faith and taking the gospel to those who need to hear it. Pray you're on board with that, because the ultimate goal at the end of the day is to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, thank you for this faithful servant today. I thank you so much for Kyler. Thank you for his willingness to stand in behind this pulpit for me this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the word that he brought us. And then just a reminder, God, that we need to evaluate our life. We need to take a look at what we're doing, what we're not doing. We need to quit living in excuses and like we don't have enough time to do this and time to do the things that really matter. When again, as Kyler shared this morning, we all have the exact same amount of time as everybody else. So I pray, God, that you'd help us to redeem the time, as your word says. Every day, God, may we prioritize those kingdom things that matter the most. May we put first things first. May we seek the kingdom first, and everything else will be added. So Lord, help us just to shape our perspective and where we spend our time, and to develop these daily disciplines and habits that are going to bring glory to you and the gospel to others. Lord, that's what we're praying for. And may we be hungry to stand before you one day and hear those wonderful words, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, bless each one of these servants today. Help us just go from here to take light into a very dark world. Be glorified in all of it. And we ask this again in Christ's name. Amen. And God bless you, folks. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you, brother. Yeah, great job. Thank you, friend. Appreciate you.